Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So I'm going to read a sutta out of the Samyutta Nikaya. It's called the Nidana Samyutta. And it's a bunch of suttas about dependent origination. I'm sure many of you have heard of this dependent origination before. And it's quite a complicated teaching. There's all these steps in it. Now, there's not just one way of explaining dependent origination. There's actually many ways of explaining it. And in this Nidana Samyutta, there's dozens of suttas. Each one of them talks about dependent origination. And now, this teaching, I've never been all that excited about it, but then I found kind of like my favorite one, my favorite explanation of it, where I'm like, okay, I like this. This makes sense. And I think the reason I like it is usually it's explained in a very intellectual way. It's very complex. You know, usually it takes like a whole hour long Dhamma talk to talk about it. There's also a very simple way of explaining it, which basically goes, with the arising of this, there is the arising of that. With the cessation of this, there is the cessation of that. Okay, that's it. It's basically just cause and effect, okay? When you have this cause, you get that effect. When you stop with that cause, you stop getting that effect. Okay, so it's just teaching us, let's figure out how cause and effect works. Especially if we want to be an arahant, you know, if you want to progress spiritually, we are going to have to look at our own lives and look at the causes and the effects. Okay, now this one I'm going to read you, this one's kind of a nice middle of the road explanation. It's kind of not too short, not too long. Okay, that's why I think I like it. It's very middle of the road, you know, kind of. I can relate to it more. Okay, so this is Samyutta Nikaya 12.69, and the title is The Surge. The Surge. So like to surge, like imagine Lenny's driving the vehicle back up the hill, and he figures, you know, I'm going to have some fun with this vehicle, and he steps on the gas really hard, and the vehicle like vroom, like surges ahead. It like, you know, quickly speeds up, and everyone in the vehicle's like, whoa, you know what I mean? So that's a surge. Okay. All right, thus have I heard. On one occasion the Blessed One was dwelling at Sawati in Jeta's Grove, Anathapindika's park. There the Blessed One said, Bhikkhus, the ocean surging causes the rivers to surge. Okay, so the ocean having a high tide, you know, lots of water, or maybe even like a tsunami or something, all of a sudden a bunch of water. Okay, the ocean surging causes the rivers to surge. The rivers surging causes the streams to surge. The streams surging causes the lakes to surge. The lakes surging cause the pools to surge. So too, ignorance surging causes volitional formations to surge. Okay, so volitional formations are like intentions. It's not just thinking, but it's thinking, you know, and we want to do something. We want, you know, we feel motivated to act, okay? Volitional formations surging cause consciousness to surge. Consciousness surging causes name and form to surge. Name and form surging causes the sixth sense basis to surge. The sixth sense basis surging causes contact to surge. Contact surging causes feeling to surge. Feeling surging causes craving to surge. Craving surging causes clinging to surge. Clinging surging causes existence to surge. Existence surging causes birth to surge. Birth surging causes aging and death to surge. Okay, and then now kind of the opposite, because the ocean receding, you know, kind of pulling back the water, because the ocean receding causes the rivers to recede. The rivers receding causes the streams to recede. The streams receding cause the lakes to recede. The lakes receding cause the pools to recede. So too, ignorance receding causes volitional formations to recede. Volitional formations receding cause consciousness to recede. And so on and so forth. And then birth receding causes aging and death to recede. Okay, so what I love about this explanation is when we have ignorance, so this would be avijja. Vijja is kind of like knowledge. And then avijja means like an absence of knowledge. So this English translation as ignorance, it's not the greatest translation. This Pali word avijja is a very kind of rich word. It can mean several things, but basically a lack of knowledge. Okay, so what kind of knowledge? There's many kinds of knowledge. And the context here would be, well, an absence of things like samadhi, an absence of things like the Brahmaviharas, the absence of a brightness of heart, the absence of, you know, all of the peace and all of the happiness that come from good practice, from meditation, from following the Buddha's path, you know, all of these wonderful states of mind that we can achieve, all this wonderful kind of spiritual heavenliness that we get when we practice enough. So once that, we feel that, once that occurs, Buddhism would call that knowledge. And when we don't have that, that's the absence of that. That's avijja, okay? Which then gets translated as ignorance. It's just an absence of that beauty, that peacefulness, that happiness. But it's like a Dhamma kind of peace. It's not a worldly kind of peace, okay? So what this sutta is saying, and to me this is kind of the... this is where the teaching, you know, I connect with it and get it. It's sort of like when we meditate well, when we practice well, we get samadhi, we get the Brahmaviharas, we get the peace. We feel that knowledge, the vijja. Then we lose our motivation. We lose our taste for worldly things, okay? I dwelt on this volitional formations, okay? Wanting to do worldly things, wanting to spend our time and our energy in worldly ways, not spiritual ways, okay? So when we feel this peace, we lose our motivation, we lose our taste, we lose our, you might say, like momentum. We lose that drive for worldly things. And if we don't have that peace, then that drive comes back. That momentum comes back. We're going to feel compelled towards worldly things. We're going to want the worldly things again. So dependent origination can be thought of in that simple a way, I say. If we understand that much, we get it. We want this peace. We want, you know, samadhi. We want the jhanas. We want the Brahmaviharas. And when we achieve them, then it reduces or even temporarily cuts off all that desire, all that motivation towards worldly things. And this momentum we feel, this drive we feel, it can be powerful. You know, it's kind of a stronger force than we might like to admit. And I think this is why the Buddha is a genius to explain this to us very carefully. You know, he's like, you think you're in control of your life. You think you're in control of your decision making. You think you're the boss. You think you're kind of like your own master. But when these worldly desires and drives and momentums kind of sweep us up, you know, they sweep us towards these things, are we really the boss? Are we really in control? You know, are we really the master? If we really want to be the boss and the master, we have to try to cool off the momentum, cool off this surging, okay? There's this surge that happens, whether you have the you know, when there's no knowledge, there's no vija, there'll be a surge that goes with that. Okay, so that's the beauty of dependent origination. One, no knowledge, okay, you're going to get that surge. And if you have the knowledge, then you can cool off that surge. Then it recedes. Okay, so that's dependent origination, if you can understand that. I noticed that during Chinese New Year, red is everybody's favorite color, and also fireworks. Lots of fireworks. And there's this one tree in your park here that's blooming with these really nice red flowers. The flowers are about that big, and they look like red fireworks. I've never seen these flowers before. It's really nice. I felt the surge towards those flowers today. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how beautiful these flowers are. I got to get my phone and take a picture of this. This is amazing, you know, but hold on, Venerable Subro, though, that's worldly. The flowers are worldly, you know? Yeah. Okay, so I'll conclude then.